the government doesn't need Apple's help anymore. Is that a good thing? Let's talk about it on Innova Radio.
Welcome to Innova Radio, your place to gather insight and wisdom for creating healthy organizations. Discover how to uncover defects in your organization and find ways to be a powerful force of change for your organization. Here's your host, David Phillips.
You may have heard that the federal government broke into the iPhone 5C that the San Bernardino killer owned, and it did not need the help of Apple. It did not need the help of Apple, and that's a big deal. In the words of Sarah Palin, you betcha, it's a big deal. It's a big deal for a couple of reasons. Here's the first. The first reason it's a big deal is because now we get the chance, instead of having a reactionary process by Congress or continuous lawsuits by the federal government or private business, we have the time to sit down, take a deep breath, relax over what is going to happen with the privacy laws and what businesses are going to be required to do in the aid a government or a municipality as it tries to find evidence in crimes. It gives us a chance to have some town halls. It gives us a chance to have business leaders and legislators come together along with law enforcement to hash out an equitable and fair set of legislation that can be used so that a private business doesn't feel like it is obligated to the federal government to spend a lot of money and a lot of manpower and a lot of resources to provide them information. It it gives consumers the confidence that companies are doing all they can to protect their private data and that they use, especially in terms of technology, and it gives the legislators the opportunity to work together and come up with something that is meaningful and something that is up to date. The government had been using a colonial era law to try to force Apple to do its bidding, and there's no need to do that anymore. This gives us the opportunity to sit down and have a reasonable and rational discussion about what needs to happen. And that's good for everybody, because the legislators could have enacted something as a knee-jerk reaction. The government could continue to carry this case all the way up the Supreme Court, and it looks like at this point we're going to have an even number of Supreme Court justices for the very near future. It doesn't look like anyone is going to be appointed to Justice Scalia's place in the near future, and that's a discussion for another day. It's also a win for Apple, because Apple can come across as being this technology company that took on the government and one that took on the government in terms of its customers' data and the privacy and all of that. It's a win for the government because they get what they need, and it's a win for the consumer. But it's also a loss. It's a loss for Apple on another level, because an exploit has been exposed that could provide someone access to their phone. We don't know what it is. The government hasn't said how they got into the phone. They haven't said who they used to get into the phone. But it exposes a potential exploit that hackers and those with malicious intent can use to try to gain access to people's phones and the data on those phones. So it puts Apple at in a negative spot. And Apple has had some turnover and some issues in the last year or so with their security team, or the team that actually looks at the security of its devices and tries to hack into those devices themselves. They have a whole team assembled to make that happen. So it's a loss for them. Apple doesn't play well with hackers, and we'll talk more about that in a minute. It's also in some way a loss for the federal government and law enforcement of the federal government, because it exposes their inability to make good decisions about technology. One of the things they did is they thought they could go in and change the password in iCloud. But the problem is, and for some reason they didn't realize this, that you can change the password in iCloud, but you have to change it on the phone for a sync to happen. And no one knew that. Nobody recognized that. Law enforcement just decided to do that on their own. It seems really without consulting anyone. And so in that regard, it exposes the government as being inept technologically, or at least not putting the best and the brightest that they have on this case. And there again, that becomes a negative, because it downplays the role or the impact that this particular case could have. And so it exposes that the federal government is lagging in the means and the resources and the talent to break into these machines, to break into the Apple, to the iPhone. So here's where hackers come into play. Now, whether we want to classify them in a malicious way, all hackers in a malicious way, I don't think that's fair. Whether we want to kind of divide this out between malicious hackers and companies who do cybersecurity and work in that vein, or potentially hackers, just individuals who work to hack into systems for good. This is good for the hacking industry, and in many ways, it's good for us. It's good for the hacking industry because technology companies have, for the past several years, realized the value that hackers have. Microsoft has a notorious reputation of having buggy software and having security issues. If you've ever had a Windows machine, you get updates every Tuesday that are security updates. And yet, Microsoft made a decision a few years ago that it was going to put together a pool of money, and it was going to work with hackers and pay hackers to hack into their systems and reveal the exploits that they use. And there is an industry, a hacking industry, that has risen up around this, where hackers will use an exploit to break into software. They'll gather not only how they did it, but what they were able to gain access to, and they will provide that information to a company, and a company will pay that hacker a sum of money. And what's interesting is that once Microsoft, for instance, began working this way and bringing that pool of money together, they their software and their systems became less buggy and became less open to being hacked in a malicious way. And so we can credit hackers for this. Now, this is a negative for Apple, because Apple has historically not done this. They have relied on their internal platform and their internal process and their internal talent to try to hack into their own systems and find exploits and find ways to gain access to those systems potentially in a malicious way. And then they've used those processes and they've used those methodologies to build in a secure environment. And the iPhones and Mac OSs are historically a very strong platform, security platform, a stable platform, but they have not worked well with hackers. And not knowing how the government came into the ability to open up this phone creates some tension within Apple, because they don't know how it happened, and the government is under no obligation to tell them how they did it. And it could have been a company that has done cybersecurity or testing and penetration testing and done security for different companies that came across this exploit and that was able to provide the access, or it could have been a hacker who has done this. And if it's a hacker, then that's a negative. And the federal government has by relying on a third party to make this happen has basically announced to the hacking world, we will pay you to help us get into systems like this. The federal government has basically stated that we don't have the talent to make this happen yet. Our talent is leaving, and they're leaving because they can make a lot more money. The highest a tech can make in the federal government, and particularly in this area, I was reading today, is about $180,000, which is really starting money for a lot of private companies. But the federal government has said, we don't have the talent, we don't have the resources to make things like this happen. And so they have basically posted a help wanted ad to hackers. Please come and help us get into systems of private companies, and this opens the door potentially for hackers finding exploits that would enable them to get into our private data. And that's not a good thing. Now, many in the industry feel like Apple should have cooperated. I have a MacBook. I have an iPhone 6. I have an iPad Air. My wife has an iPad Air. She has an iPhone 6 and she has a Windows 10 machine. I'm happy Apple didn't give in. And I'm happy that other companies such as Microsoft and such as Google and Facebook joined together and said the federal government shouldn't compel us to open up our software and open up our systems so the federal government can gain access to them. We have gone through this outrage of a couple of years ago with the revelation that the National Security Agency, NSA, was able to had agreements with Verizon and AT&T and other companies for the purpose of tracking phone calls and the metadata that goes along with phone calls, such as where they were and who they were calling, and potentially even text messages and things like that. And I, for one, am appreciative of the fact that these technology companies have come together and said, we will not, you are going to have to force us through litigation all the way up to the Supreme Court for us, you're going to have to do that for us to give you the access that you're requesting. So I'm happy for that. I'm appreciative of that. And I think that was the right decision. And it also brings me to something that I think is coming in the technology industry. I think, you know, so many are, especially millennials, look at companies and decide that, that they're going to purchase goods and services from those companies that support social causes and have a social mission, not just a money-making mission. And it has become a very large part of so many companies that they are encouraging their employees to go out and do work and do service projects and work within the community and work in parks and to have to be involved in social causes, to be involved in homeless ministries, to be involved in charity work, and companies that do that and promote that and market that are companies that many people begin to hold near and dear to their heart, and they become loyal customers of those companies because of the social mission that they are engaged in. I think what we're going to see is something similar in the technology industry, that what is going to be valued among everything and all things is the privacy of the customer base for a technology company. So not only is it going to be a social contract, an implicit or implied social contract that the companies are going to have with their customers, it's also going to be probably in an explicit level a privacy contract that we are going to purchase, we are going to hold near and dear, we're going to buy from, we're going to consume services from those companies which are working hard to protect our data. And it has cost a lot of money for companies like Target and Anthem, Blue Cross Blue Shield, and Home Depot to provide credit monitoring and identity monitoring services to customers when they've had a data breach. It's cost them a lot of money. And, you know, the old saying is, you can pay me now or you can pay me later. You can put into your business processes and your technology adequate and maybe even overboard security measures. And it's going to cost you money on the front end, indeed. But when you think about the reputation that your company, the hit of your company's reputation, and then on top of that, the cost it's going to be to provide identity monitoring services to all of those customers, it's going to be cost you a lot more on the back end than it would on the front end. And so I think what you're going to see, and you're seeing it, I am even pushing that within our own organization, the need for adequate, maybe even overboard security within our network and within our business processes and within our systems, so that we can make sure that if someone gets into our network and is able to sniff around, they can't get access to things like social security numbers and addresses and birthdays and all those things that someone needs to fill out a credit card application, for instance. And I think in a very real way, we're going to see people be loyal to those companies that publicly and privately work hard to defend our privacy. I think that's coming. And that's going to have an impact on law enforcement's ability to gain access to data when a crime is committed. And it is going to push the advancement of systems to protect us, that data, protect the privacy of a consumer and a user, and it is going to push forward the systems and processes to break that encryption and to break the security of those companies to gain access to that data. Now, there will always be hackers, and there will always be hacks, and there will always be data breaches, and people's privacy will continue to be interrupted. But at the same time, there is good in the hacking profession. There are those hackers who, on a very real level, are doing very good work in helping companies and helping organizations secure their systems. I don't know if you've ever seen the movie, the movie Catch Me If You Can with Tom Hanks, and I think Leonardo DiCaprio was in that, where a federal agent spent years tracking down a man who was forging checks, and this was years ago, probably back in the 50s or 60s, and after the man served a few years in prison, or maybe even a shorter period of time than that, I don't recall exactly, the government brought him on as a consultant to help them figure out how to put a stop to check fraud and forgery. And many of the systems and many of the processes that were put in place and are in place today can be traced back to that forger turned government agent who helped track down check fraud and check forgery and helped put those systems and resources into place. There is value in people who know how to do what seems to be destructive things so that people who are actually doing the destructive things and the malicious things can be caught. And so hackers have value. Hackers have value because they're pushing forward systems and processes that help make our data more secure and our devices more secure. And over time, companies will get better at securing their software and securing their systems because whether it's internal or an external hacker has worked to break into those systems and has revealed what he did and how he did it or what she did or how she did it to that company and to that organization, they've been able to secure their systems and their software in a much better way. I am not a big fan of WikiLeaks on some level, but it was hackers that revealed the NSA NSA tracking and the government tracking that was going on a few years ago. Hackers are working to take down ISIS. There's a cyber war between Anonymous, that group that that hacking, I started to call it an organization, but it's really not an organization. It's a grassroots, independent community of hackers. But Anonymous is working to take down accounts and websites and such as that for ISIS, the terror group in the Middle East. So hackers, hackers have always been around in various forms. People who share the secrets or who uncover secrets and then figure out a way to keep the company safe or the country safe. Spies are on some level a form of hacks or hackers. Hackers have good qualities. And in this case, in the government versus Apple, and the government trying to get the access to the San Bernardino killer's phone and his data in that phone, hackers on some level played a part. And they will continue to play a part for Apple as Apple tries to secure its systems against this whatever exploit or whatever open door that was found to be able to give the government that access. So this case was a big case, and it has big consequences down the road, big implications down the road. And so on one level, everybody won. The government, consumers, the industry won. On another level, some lost. The Apple and specifically the federal government on another level. But ultimately what I think it's going to do is it's going to make the software better. And it's going to make the security better, which is great for consumers. Governments, municipalities, law enforcement, they hate this. But I think it's great for consumers. And it may open the door for Apple to change its ways in regards to how it treats the hacking community. And who knows, the hacking community may come alongside Apple and help them make that software much better. So what do you think? I'd love to know what you think about this particular case. I'd love to know what you think about hackers and their role in making systems better and their role in moving technology forward. I'd love to know what you think about that. I'd love to know what you think just even about the companies involved, whether it was Apple or in other technology companies. And I would love to know what you think about your the protection of data and protection of the privacy of the consumer. I think things like this will only make push technology forward, and on some level, that's always a good thing because it turns technology into a driver of new markets and opens the doors for that, and it moves businesses forward, and it creates a skill set that becomes valuable and allows for good jobs. And so on some level, I think cases like this, instances like this, move things forward in a positive way. There are downsides to technology. There's a lot of downside to technology. There's a lot of great upside to technology as well. But so I'd love to know what you think. Go over to the website, wdavidphillips.com, and let me know what you think. Go to my Facebook page, facebook.com/InnovoRadio, or just have some comments in the page or where you're listening to this podcast. Let me continue to give a shout out to Roundtable Media Group, which I am a part of, roundtablemediagroup.com, and we've had a soft launch and coming up soon on a full-blown launch of our podcast, multi-channel podcasting site. And so head over there, check out some of the other podcasts that are being shared over there. And I'm hoping to soon announce a sponsor for this show, something that I love and use. And we'll have a code that you can use to gain access to some great things. And I'm also looking forward to the possibility of having an author, a best-selling author, come on and do a podcast with me about leadership and communication and organizational transformation. Someone who's just released a new book, and I have a great appreciation for. So we're working on that as well. So I'll let you know more about that in the coming days. Thanks for listening. I hope this has been helpful to you and kind of opened your eyes on a couple of different levels. Take care, and look forward to seeing you or sharing with you in a couple of weeks on another great topic. Take care.
Thanks for listening in today, and be sure to subscribe so you don't miss an episode of Powerful Insight. For more up-to-date information and tips to help you on your quest for change, head over to the website at www.wdavidphillips.com and sign up for our newsletter.